Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever lost or misplaced your mobile phone? You lose not only the telephone, but pictures, email, maybe games you've downloaded, and probably your calendar. And in this world of calendars on mobile phones, or maybe you have a calendar that hangs in on the wall in the kitchen, like my wife. For most of us, there is no white space on the calendar. We are busy taking kids to events, shopping, medical appointments, upcoming trips to plan. We have difficulty believing that sloth or laziness is a sin that we need to seriously deal with in our lives. We will admit to being proud. Yes, we will do that. We will confess to gluttony only if someone threatens us to take away our Halloween candy. We might even be willing to agree to the occasional lustful thought or two. But seldom, seldom does anyone confess to being lazy. Is it possible for a person who is chronically sleep deprived and who longs for a moment to put his or her feet up and relax to be lazy? Should the sin of laziness be a concern for those of us who are maybe working longer hours than ever before, facing endless commutes up and down an interstate that only seems to get more crowded as they build to solve the problem, and struggling with diminishing leisure time? Well, the short answer is yes. We live in a society where television viewing is on the rise. People are spending more and more hours on their computers, entranced by the latest video games. Is it possible for laziness to be found on the local golf course? Or maybe that favorite fishing place? Can we be lazy in the pages of a spellbinding novel? In our meditation text, the congregation at Thessalonica had a problem, as we read in verse 6. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. You see, several members of the fellowship had stopped working. These people believed that the return of Jesus was imminent. If Jesus was coming soon, they saw no reason to work. They did not need to save for retirement, and it was more important to focus on spiritual things. The attitude and idleness of these people created problems in the congregation. Rather than devote themselves to the study of Scripture and prayer, the lazy people became busybodies, as we heard in verse 11, interfered with the lives of others. The people of the congregation, because of their Christian love, supported the lazy lifestyles of these people and drained the resources of the congregation so that it could not care for the poor, the hungry, and the needy. The lazy demonstrated a lifestyle to the others that Paul did not want anyone else to emulate. Laziness was not a neutral force in the Thessalonican church. The laziness of a few people hindered the outreach to the Christian community and prevented them from accomplishing God's will. So what was the problem? The lazy people in Thessalonica misunderstood why God had shared his grace and love upon them and gathered them into God's family. They thought it was exclusively because God wanted to save them and have them go to heaven when they died. And this is true. God had moved in their lives, just like God moves in our lives, but not only to restore our relationship with him, but touches us so that in and through us, we can be God's shining lights in the world, salt to the earth, witness of God's love and glory. We read in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When God called Abraham and told him he would make him a great nation and God would bless him so that he would be a blessing. Blessings are never meant to stop with us. Blessings are intended to flow in and through us. In Ephesians 2:10, Paul tells the Ephesians, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." In a scene from the end times that is found in Matthew 25, Christians are judged by what they have done with their blessings and how they have ministered to the needs of the people. If we were to pick that story up at verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." Laziness is not limited to idleness. Laziness is a lifestyle that prevents us from using our gifts and our talents to accomplish God's will in our lives. The opposite of the sin of laziness is the virtue of service. Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again from the dead so that we could serve. Each of us can take steps that lead us away from laziness and toward an abundant life of service. It always begins when we remember to pray. I know it sounds too simple. Ask God to show you where you can serve, but do not forget to listen to God's response. It may not even be an area you are skilled or experienced at. That's okay. God will provide all you need on your journey. When I started the lay deacon program, God didn't share with me that one day I'd be standing here at the pulpit as a pastor. Nope. Wasn't in the view of where I thought God would take me. Secondly, remember your passion. Think back to the season of your life when God was stirring in your heart to be active, when you got excited about coming to church. Don't let the business of life or negative experiences distract you. Even amid trials, difficult seasons, we can pray as the psalmist prays in Psalm 9:1. "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all your wonderful deeds." Thirdly, as you listen, discern what areas of ministry God might be calling you to. Hints at what God wants you to do in and through you, maybe through open and closed doors, gut feelings, advice and counsel from others. Listen carefully. No service is too small for God. Do not be afraid to ask, and if you are a ministry leader, Do not forget to listen and help the person coming to you if they're looking for areas to serve. Help them, guide them. Listen to say no, get your rest. Learn to say no. It's okay to say no. Keeping busy is not an antidote for laziness. A very old saying I use very frequently in my corporate life, do not confuse activity with progress. Do not let pride lead you down a path thinking you can solve problems by working harder. If the last few years have taught us anything, it should be that we are often helpless to protect ourselves from lurking dangers, whether sickness, injustice, conflict, or turmoil. We cannot solve all the problems, and that should make us look to the one who can, the only one who is in control. We need to rest in him and keep your eyes on Jesus. Look to heaven. Enjoy the people around you. The season as we approach Advent and Christmas can be very busy, but enjoy your family and friends. We are told in Revelation 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Celebrate. Celebrate that you are a child of God. God is moving in your life so that you can not only be God's sons and daughters, but also God's servant, God's ambassador to your neighborhood, whether that's here, at work, or at home. As we bring the meditation to a close, is the sin of laziness a part of all of our lives? We probably all have spots in our lives that we are a little bit lazy. I know I can think of times. Can I or anyone else tell you when you are or are not being lazy? Probably not. That's really something that you address with God in your daily journey of faith in prayer. The gospel has touched your life and saved you so that you can plunge deeply into purposeful, meaningful life of service for God, of blessing others because you have been blessed. We close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you have loved each of us, that you created each of us unique for a purpose, that you know us by name. No matter our age, no matter where we find ourselves today, please help each of us to listen to your Holy Spirit so that we may grow in our walk with you. Thank you for blessing us this day and each day and every day, and give us the passion to share those blessings with others, to all to whom we come in contact. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.